the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Gauterdacht, dort es sehr fang dort die tu unser Harchen date.
Now, you guys are going, is this the podcast from North Peace? We do have speaking in tongues, and I do want to interpret.
Okay, good. That's biblical. What's
Andrew
the
is learning Low German here, so he just said, good day. It's really great that you're here listening to us today. So
there you go. For all our German listeners. The German.
We're trying to get into the Presbytu demographic here, so we're just finding it hard to get in there.
Our
so.
Agent said, listen, guys, the podcast is not going well. You need to reach a broader audience. So there we go. We'll try some low. Is that low German or high German, German or just regular German?
Low German.
That is
Plautdeutsch. Flat German.
Flat German. Anyways. we do want to thank you for tuning in. What we do every week basically is Don and I sit down and talk about, we've done all sorts of things, different religions and just things related to hard passages in scripture and really how to live out the Christian faith. Last week, Don's phone is ringing over and over and over. He's so popular. Last week, we talked about the expulsive power of a new affection. So I don't know, Don, if you want to kind of recap, what does that mean, the expulsive power of a new affection? Like, what did we talk about last week, I guess, if you want to give a quick recap, or maybe if someone missed out?
Yeah, we were just talking about the new year and just reminding ourselves of the awesomeness of the salvation that Jesus has won for us, and how we need him every day to make progress. So we're talking about dealing with old affections of our flesh and the world, and that the only way to really deal with them, and we talked about some of the brokenness that we as pastors deal with, and the many different ways people try to deal with them. So these are called old affections that don't work. And we talked about there's a book by Thomas Chalmers, or a sermon, and he calls the expulsive power of a new affection.
Right.
And he talks about the affection of towards Jesus Christ, that is the only affection strong enough to deal with the old affections of the world that we wrestle with all the time.
Right. Yeah. And I think we kind of talked that, you know, oftentimes it's, you know, you have these idols or these affections that, whether it's work or money or sex or family or whatever, these things that you have in your life. And oftentimes when you become a Christian, it's like, we get the idea of Jesus saves me from my sins. Yeah. But maybe we don't really understand and love Jesus and have affection for him. And so then we kind of, and we see it as pastors all the time, then people just chase after all of these other things. And it can be frustrating being in that. And then you go, man, why do I keep turning back to the same sin over and over and over again? And it can be frustrating as pastors. I mean, we have our own sin, but also walking with people through it. And you're like, why don't you get this? And I think what Chalmers was getting at is that, and Don said it, like only when your affections are so captured by Jesus, then those other things don't even... Yeah, you don't even want to go to them because you've been so captured by Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And so that's what he means by, right, that expulsive power. It just kind of gets... Well.
Yeah, and when that affection for Jesus begins to take hold too, it also takes away that drive we have to try to earn our own salvation, to be good enough, to be more moral, to try harder. You know, if I pray more, if I read the Bible more, then something's got to give, but it won't give. It's the Jesus Christ and your affection towards him that's going to make the difference, not how hard you try or how many chapters a day you're going to read.
Yeah,
it won't deal with the sin issue in our heart.
Yeah, and that's hard because especially with sin, I mean, we've both shared... lots of times that you can try really hard. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that and put all these things in place. And there's nothing like inherently wrong with that to put, I mean, Don and I have both shared about pornography in the past and it's smart to put things on your phone and this and that. But I remember, I think you even shared last week, Dawn, when you get to that place of just like, well, okay, I can't do this anymore. And I'm going to, I think we even used the phrase, I'm going to fall on Jesus. Only Jesus can save me. And that's when for you, Jesus said, okay, good. Now I can actually do something, right? And that's a scary place to be. And a lot of us don't get there because it's, I'm going to try really, really hard and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Well, it's scary because I thought if I let go, then basically sin would just overrun, like I'm giving up.
Right.
And yet that was when Christ could come in to the picture, and actually he was able to deal with something I was never able to deal with. So it was that scary moment of, well, if I let go, I'm basically, you know, committing suicide, my Christian suicide. But it was the opposite. Yeah. I finally realized that Jesus is actually able and enough, but I didn't ever understand that. I just thought I had to do something or I had to somehow keep control. It just wasn't working.
Yeah. So today we want to do kind of a part two all to all of that last week, just because, you know, Dawn had been saying, I think we need to maybe like give some examples or clarify or just kind of broaden it out a bit, because it's really, I don't know, some people who listen, you know, you can hear, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to like have affection for Jesus and just let go and let him do like, but I think some people might go like, how are there examples in the Bible? Don, are there examples in the Bible of a man and a woman
who did this?
And that's basically what we want to do. We have two examples to give us kind of a concrete, okay, what does this actually look like? Give me a story. Give me an example of an individual who responded to Jesus like this. And then hopefully that can kind of help us go, okay, that's not that it's going to, not that we're saying that that's going to look exactly the same for you, but okay, that's what it looks like to be so captured by Jesus, to have affection for him and to confront sin and all this kind of stuff. So we do want to give two examples. And so I don't know which one you want to do first. We want to give from a woman's perspective and a man's perspective, basically.
Well, I got the one in Luke chapter 7 with the woman example. So I guess we'll do the ladies first.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah,
that's very polite.
The way it should be, gentlemanly way.
So do you want to just read Luke 7? Some of you know this, the sinful woman who comes and anoints Jesus' feet. And why don't you just read it? So then we can just remind ourselves of the story and make sure we don't miss anything.
Okay, so it says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Wow.
So it's a tremendous story of, you know, the scene is just incredible. And I know, I think it was Spurgeon, he said this is one of the most powerful scenes of in an interaction between Jesus and a human being. And this woman, and as you know, when they reclined at the table in those days, they would have kind of been kneeling at the table with their feet kind of behind them. So you can see how this would make sense with the woman coming behind her or behind Jesus and being by his feet. Because if we're thinking of a modern table, we're going like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But she comes into this Pharisee's house knowing she's a sinner, knowing that the Pharisees all know this, know her reputation, and she comes straight to Jesus. And in her way, she displays this incredible scene of love and falling at Jesus' feet. And so as you dig into it a little bit more, she knew Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the answer to her sinful life and her need of forgiveness. So she risked everything in front of these Pharisees where she knew they would hate her.
Yeah.
And even they were thinking in their heads, well, if Jesus actually knew who this woman was, he would do something about it. He wouldn't be just sitting there.
Yeah.
And yet she knows Jesus was going to be safe, and she knew she had to get to him. So it's interesting because Jesus says this little parable to Simon the host, and 500 denarii would have been 500 days worth of full wages. So it was a large sum, and 50 wouldn't have been quite as big, but both of these debts were canceled. And in the end, she recognized her huge debt before God. And I think part of it is that the Pharisees thought they didn't owe very much.
Yeah.
So in their responses to Jesus, there's this drastic difference where the woman is doing this lavish display of love, where the Pharisees didn't give Jesus even the courtesy of a normal welcome that they gave people. So, and then Jesus gives her what she's looking for and says, your sins are forgiven. And he also says that your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So she believed Jesus was the Messiah, was able to forgive her. And so Jesus confirms this and says, your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you. So he confirms, you know, I'm the Messiah, I am. And her sins are forgiven.
Yeah, wow.
So like we're just thinking with the guy and a lady's response, of course, the guys would feel very uncomfortable with a scene like this, such a lavish display. She doesn't actually say a word, and yet she says a lot about throwing herself on Jesus, knowing she's a sinful woman, that she has nowhere to go except Jesus, and she basically falls on him, looking for forgiveness, looking for reinstatement, and Jesus gives her both. And there was nothing she could do.
Yeah,
she knew she was, in a sense, helpless. There was no way out unless Jesus did something.
Yeah. No, even like reading it and listening to it, there, man, there's so many. I'm just thinking there's a lot of parallels to kind of how you described your situation of, man, this is the end of the rope. This is the last kind of resort. And it's just amazing, yeah, that you have this woman who, and I've heard some commentators say that, you know, they think she was a, you know, the town prostitute, because even the people, and we don't know, that's speculation, but even the Pharisees are going, man, like, obviously her sin was known, because she went, you know, they all said, man, Jesus knew who this woman was, like, but yeah, I love it that, it, for her, you're right, this is kind of this last resort. I'm gonna crash a dinner party that I'm not invited to, and kind of risk everything, but she wanted to display this affection for Jesus. And I like that you said, like, she didn't even say anything, right? She didn't say a sinner's prayer. She didn't, please, Jesus, like, listen, I know I've done some bad stuff, but please, like, I'm not that bad. She knew who she was. She knew that she was a sinner. And then her display of affection for Jesus, I love that. Yeah, his response is, yeah, your sins are forgiven. She didn't even ask, right? She didn't say, please, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. But in her response to Jesus, Jesus knew that that's what she wanted. She wasn't just wasting perfume. She wasn't, you know, putting on this big show. And then, right, your faith has saved you. So I think it helps a little bit to I mean, we don't, and we're going to get to the guy's response, because a guy would be like, well, I mean, I have a short haircut. I can't really wipe my hair on Jesus. And even it just it's almost like too intimate to be like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the example of in the Bible of a man's response to Jesus. But I think there's still for both male and female, it's this idea of, do you actually love Jesus? I mean, and for, again, some guys might be uncomfortable with that, but I think to a certain extent, you need to get over it. Do you actually love Jesus? And do you actually know how much of a sinner you are? And we talked about that last week. Like, because if you follow this pop psychology, our cultures, like, you're not that great, you're not that bad of a person, which is why I love what Jesus says. He who is forgiven little loves little. So if you walk around going, I'm not that bad, then you're not going to love Jesus, because I mean, he saved you, but I maybe I could have done it on my own, right? But thanks, Jesus. But someone, right, he says in verse 47, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. So I think having affection for Jesus in one hand is just realizing again, like, how sinful we are without him, and then we begin to understand just the magnitude of what he did, and then we love him because we're not good people. We are sinful people. So I love that Jesus says that to Simon. And the Pharisees were, and you said that, the Pharisees were like that. I'm pretty good. And so, of course, they didn't love Jesus, because they had it in their minds, I can do this on my own. I follow the law. I do this and that. I'm not that bad of a person. And so, yeah, they don't even wash his feet. They don't give him a kiss when he comes, which is, again, a weird cultural thing. It's like, don't kiss me when I come to your house.
Shake my hand.
Shake my hand, but don't kiss me.
Yeah, and what's interesting, because, you know, the truth is that every one of the men there were as sinful as this woman.
Yes.
And needed to repent and ask for forgiveness, which they clearly didn't. They thought they were the 50 denarii. Well, yeah, maybe a small debt, but the 500 is clearly this woman.
Yeah.
When, the truth was they all had this huge debt, and only she recognized it and actually received forgiveness because of it. You know, it was so backwards. The one that least deserved it in their eyes received forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the ones that didn't think, you know, they only had a small debt. They didn't even receive any forgiveness because they didn't repent or see a need. So, it's really interesting. So, maybe you won't come kissing Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with your hair, but
I think you would look good with long hair. Hey, you were like because when were you born?
66.
So you would have been like
the 80s. Yeah.
Did you have long hair?
Barely good mullet, just thick, curly, almost black hair.
Jet black.
Yeah.
He's like a Puerto Rican heart.
You see my wedding picture. Whoa, that guy had hair.
Anyway, sorry. Total. I'm just imagining you with long black locks.
Yeah, cool down.
But continue, right? For guys, we go, I don't know how comfortable I am thinking about Jesus like that, that I'm going to come and weep at his feet and anoint him with perfume. So, and maybe some guys are more emotionally like that, and that's fine. But I think for a lot of guys, we go, okay, give me another example.
Yeah, and I think to be careful too, it was the heart issue that Jesus saw, not necessarily the outward display. I mean, the outward display showed her broken, repentant heart.
Yes.
So I think that's probably important to see. It wasn't that, wow, you really showed this.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Display that, you know, your sins are forgiven, but it was her heart matched the brokenness on the outside. And that's what Jesus saw when he said, your sins are forgiven. Because it wouldn't have been forgiven if she just had an outward show. Like, well, if I get really humble and maybe cry, then Jesus will give me some kind of blessing or something, which happens. Some people will walk upstairs, kneel upstairs, or whatever to,
to somehow... To kind of prove that, man, I'm serious about this. But, yeah, that's a good point to remind us about, that it wasn't... Because, right, Jesus judges the heart. And so, yeah, he wasn't just saying, well, you're... That's why he says your faith has saved you, not your outward demonstration of, yeah, that's a really good point, Don. So why don't you, why don't we share a different response to Jesus? And I also want to be careful, like I don't, we don't want to just characterize and say, well, only women respond this way and only men respond this way. Because like, we don't want to feed into that, well, men never cry, like, you got to be a man, like, real men cry, Don.
Hey, I've cried.
But, I cry way too often. I need to go get checked out or something.
Well, I think that's the beauty of it, that it's the heart issue, and it's this can come out in a variety of ways, which you read the scripture, the sinful woman, the blind man, the disciples, Zacchaeus, they all had their way of surrendering to Jesus, falling on. So, which I think is awesome. Like God created
that there's no
us.
Set.
There's no set.
Okay, step one.
Pattern, but God also respects, he made us each a unique creation, and we also have unique ways of, but in the end, it is that heart surrendering to Jesus and recognizing that we're sinful, we need his forgiveness and his indwelling power to live the life, but it can... kind of happen in very different ways, which
but
is good.
But I think too, like if you're gonna, by and large, I think men maybe don't connect as easily as women with that example. I know for me as a man, I go, oh, that just makes me uncomfortable. I don't know if I could do that. So we want to give another example of a different type of response. I mean, well, different outwardly, but the exact same response to Jesus from the heart, but just. It just manifested itself in a different way, and some would say maybe in a more masculine way. And some of the guys, if they might connect better to this story, I guess. So why don't you read that, Luke 18?
I'm actually going to read the Mark 10 account just because it has a couple little details.
We did not discuss this ahead of time. Okay, Mark 10.
So the story is also in Luke
18.
Yeah. But I'm going to read the account from Mark chapter 10. And it's verse 46 to the end of the chapter. So Jesus is on his way traveling, and he comes to Jericho. So here it is. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So yeah, here's an interesting, another way of someone that came to Jesus. Just a few things that I found really interesting was that the crowd, by and large, called Jesus of Nazareth. Basically, he maybe was a good man and maybe a prophet, but he was from Nazareth, like he's one of us.
Yeah.
And this blind man calls him Jesus, son of David, which is a clear messianic term. There was only one person that was promised to be the heir of the throne of David, and that was this Messiah. So it's really interesting that this blind man is calling him the son of David, and then he's asking for mercy on him. Of course, the crowd was telling him to be quiet. You're just a blind beggar. Stay over there. And then
I love he's so defiant. And he yelled even louder.
So the crowd's yelling at him to shut up. And then Jesus wants him to come to him. So then they say, "Oh, hey, be of cheer. He wants you to come." No, they totally changed their tune.
Yeah, we were saying that all along. Come on, man.
So really interesting in Mark, it doesn't say this in Luke, but it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So this phrase right here just shows his complete willingness to put his trust and his hope in this Messiah, because his cloak was basically the only thing he had as a blind man. This was his security, his way to stay warm at night, and maybe even all his belongings were in that cloak. And by throwing it aside, he came with faith, with hope that he was going to have an encounter with Jesus. So Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he wants to see. And so Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And it's interesting that he received his sight and then he followed Jesus along the road. He didn't go just on his way. Yes, I can see now. I'm good to go. He actually followed Jesus. And so it's interesting. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And here again, he didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't say the right words. It was his heart that recognized this was the Messiah. And he didn't confess sins or anything either at that time, but his hope was in the Messiah. He knew life and hope and whatever was all tied up in this Messiah. So he came and basically fell on Jesus the same way the sinful woman did, but in a different way.
Yeah.
And Jesus recognized his heart, his faith that he had in the Messiah, and he says, your faith has healed you.
Yeah.
And then he follows Jesus. So,
yeah, I love that really all he asks is, have mercy on me. And I think it's the same type of thing. He knew who he was. He knew, and it doesn't say that, you know, people weren't saying, oh, there's the old sinner, but like we know, he obviously knew that he had, because all he's asking is, have mercy on me. Son of David, yeah, he's yelling it and then defiantly yelling it. I love it. But it says that Son of David, so he's acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, and then just have mercy on me. And it's just so fascinating. It's the same heart response as the sinful woman. Like, and she didn't say anything, but obviously she was, right, saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Just have mercy. I'm going to do this one thing. I don't know how this is going to go. I hope he has mercy on me. And Jesus did. And so it's just fascinating seeing two different outward responses of the exact same thing, of just coming to a point when you're going, man, Jesus is all I've got. If it isn't him, it's nothing. He's the only one who can save me. I just need mercy. I can't do it on my own. I think that's so powerful, that both of these stories, and there's others too, right? I mean, lots of other responses. And I like that you brought up Zacchaeus. Because some of us go, he stands up, I'm going to give back everything and then pay back four times. And then Jesus says, faith has come to your house. And so we go, wait, faith came because he gave away all of his stuff. And again, no, the outward was a sign of what was inwardly happening. Yeah. So different response, but same heart response, just going, man, I'm so sinful. I need Jesus. And Jesus says, well, hey, faith has come to your house today. So there's lots of examples of people responding to Jesus, and there's examples of people not responding. I mean, the rich young ruler is a great example of what so many of us do. What do I need to get eternal life? And, you know, Jesus kind of does an exam with him, and then he again points to his idol and the one thing that he wasn't willing to go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And right, he goes away sad because his affections were for his possessions, not for Jesus. And so it's so encouraging that you see examples in Scripture of these types of responses.
I think where this resonates for the guys is his title of Jesus is Son of David, like the rightful king to the throne of David. And I think for me anyways, it resonates with me because Jesus is the rightful king of my heart. And I think this is where us as guys can resonate with this, that we may not come weeping and wiping his feet, but as the rightful king, will we bow our knee and say, Jesus, you are the rightful king?
Yeah.
And by saying that, he has the right to tell me what's next or what to do. Hmm. And like we talked about in youth group a while back, it's, you know, your sexuality is now determined by the king. Hmm. And how you're going to handle your money will be determined by the king. Like, you're his servant now.
Yeah.
And so in that way, you can see that coming to Jesus as the king isn't just, yeah, I'll, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing. No, that back then, when the king said something, you did it. You didn't have an option of, well, think about it. Well, that could be the end of your life. So when he says son of David, it was a very powerful phrase for him, that he acknowledged that he is the rightful king. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, for us guys and even the ladies too, that we recognize he is the rightful king of us as we come to him. So therefore, we are his servants.
Yeah.
And kind of Paul explained this better too in 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. He says, you were bought with a price. You are not your own.
Yeah.
And therefore honor God with your body. Like, so yeah, that same idea that like, you're not your own anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where we, a lot of us get caught up in, we want Jesus to be a part of the pie of our life.
Yeah.
But all the other ones are kind of up for us to decide how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so that, it doesn't work that way.
No, I think it's good to remind the, and it's interesting because, I mean, we're in this marriage series and this week we're addressing the men, and I am, you know, we're talking a bit about how Jesus is the prototype for manhood, but oftentimes we just emphasize the feminine qualities of Jesus and we don't emphasize, and so no wonder guys go, really, I'm supposed to follow this guy who's like weeping over Jerusalem and let all the children come to me, and really, this is who I'm supposed to follow. So it's good to say, and even when we talk affections for so many people, they go, maybe I'm not a really affectionate person. And so we want to be careful that we're not just saying, like, be really emotional about mm-hmm. Jesus, because your emotions can trick you and betray you. And so the idea of affections is not just, oh, man, I cry a lot when I think about Jesus, or I'm just like...
That's a good point.
Right? But just to say, like, I love that that resonates with me, that, like, when I think about even David, I think about, and you look at his mighty men, like, those were men that loved David, but there was nothing wimpy about them. These were men of valor, and they went into battle, but they had this love for David, this affection for him, that they were willing to do that. And for, as a guy, that resonates with me, that I want to love Jesus so much, right, that I would put my life down, and I do want to obey what he says. And so, yeah, not to just think that affections are just gushy feelings. It's both, right? It is our emotions, but it's also our actions and our obedience, because we just so love Jesus, that you would be willing to do that kind of stuff. So... hopefully that kind of helps, and I would encourage you to read through the Gospels and notice how Jesus interacts with people and how mm-hmm. people respond to Jesus, because yeah. you'll notice similarities in how, what am I trying to say, that Jesus looks at the heart. Like, even I think mm-hmm. of the guys that dug through the roof and lowered their friend down, right, and Jesus heals them and forgives them of his sin, and you go, how? Because, right, Jesus saw. So read through the Gospels and look at how people respond to Jesus, and the ones that get it, I guess, and their affections are for Jesus. And then also notice the ones who don't necessarily get it, and their motives are wrong, or they're kind of half understanding it. Like, that would be my encouragement to you, and hopefully that helps you get to a place where you're not just going, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love Jesus, but you would begin to understand really what we've been saying, the expulsive power of this new affection, that then sin loses its grasp. And not that you don't sin anymore ever, but it's different. You yeah. you don't love it, you don't chase after it, because your affections are for Jesus. Any last thoughts, Don, or should we say Dankeschön? No, that's not goodbye. What's goodbye in German?
Dankeschön is thank you.
Oh, Dankeschön.
Well, you could do that.
Volkswagen, oh. IKEA. No, that's Swedish. That's Swedish.
Orgy, borgy, 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 borgy.
We just offended all of our German listeners. Man, our agent is going to kill us. But honestly, hopefully this has been helpful. That you are, oh man, we were doing so good. And then, yeah, anyways, hopefully that has been helpful, just to kind of explain more. And hopefully we are praying, that more and more your affections are captured by Jesus. And you begin to see how awesome that is to live that kind of life. Amen. God bless.